Welcome to the Betting Pros PGA Podcast. I'm Pat Fitzmaurice, joined as always by Bo McBrayer. Today we will give you our betting preview of the second major of the year, the PGA Championship. We'll also do a quick recap of the Wells Fargo Championship and a very quick recap of the Myrtle Beach Classic. And at the end of the show, we will give you our one and done picks. The Betting Pros PGA Podcast is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is the place to go for best ball fantasy football contests, but you might not have known that Underdog has golf contests too. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com or find Underdog in the App Store. And don't forget to register with the promo code BPGolf to claim your special pick and to get a first-time deposit offer of up to $250 in bonus cash. More on Underdog and its golf contests a little bit later. Bo, I want to start by thanking you for giving me the courage to bet on Rory McIlroy at the Wells Fargo Championship last week. That might sound like a strange thing to say, considering that Rory was the betting favorite at either plus 650 or plus 700, depending on where you went. But Rory's only win this year had been the Zurich Classic, a team event, kind of a garbage event that he won with Shane Lowry. And McIlroy finished third at the Valero Texas Open in early April, but his only other top 20 finish this season was a tie for 19th at the Players Championship. Rory has traditionally played really well at Quail Hollow, but he tied for 47th last year after I bet on him. And if you can't back Rory at Quail Hollow, where can you back him? So you reassured me, Bo. You pointed out that the length of Quail Hollow might sort of negates Rory's erratic wedge game, which I think it did. So I did, in fact, bet Rory last week, and it obviously paid off. Sunday boiled down to a match play duel between Rory and Xander Schauffele. And Schauffele took a one-shot lead into the final round, was up two after making an eagle on the par 5 seventh. Then Rory just went bonkers. 8 under par over his next 8 holes to just squeeze the life out of poor Xander. Rory hit a 7-shot lead going into the final hole, and maybe Rory was trying to send a message to Xander and perhaps some other competitors when he aggressively fired at the pin with his approach on 18 and wound up in the creek behind the green. But at that point, the victory was a mere formality, and even with that double bogey, Rory finished 5 shots ahead of Schauffele and 8 shots ahead of third place Ben Ahn. Rory just put on a clinic at Quail Hollow, Bo. This was a course that was playing firm and fast all week long, and yet Rory made it look like some pushover, like the course that hosted the Myrtle Beach Classic. So as for Xander Schauffele, this tournament did nothing to shake his reputation as a player who has trouble closing and possibly lacks killer instinct. Bo, your thoughts on the Wells Fargo Championship?
I think we'll pump the brakes on the Xander Schauffele analysis because he didn't lose that tournament. Like, Xander Schauffele would have blown that tournament away, but Rory was on such a run on Sunday. That was a magical round. And if he had just made par on 18, he would have shot a 63. A 63 at Quail Hollow in those conditions. That's how good Rory is at his best. And there's a lot to be said about his form coming in. Not Rory's usual successful self. We've seen a lot better of Rory in years past. What he did on Sunday found was him finding his peak, and that's a really good time to do it. 65 on Sunday, which could very easily could have been a 63 if he wasn't messing around on 18. He had the thing in the bag, a huge lead, and it wasn't Xander's fault that he got beat by a pretty historic round. So I'll say Xander is a gold medalist. He's won plenty of times before. He just hasn't had quite enough to win in the last almost 2 years. He's still a world-class player. This guy's still stacking top fives and top tens every week. The time will come for him. He's too good not to keep betting on, because it's eventually going to break through because he's that good. But Rory, my God, that was exactly what I was hoping to see. It is what I expected to see. And I'm very glad that not only did I bet Rory, but I bet him with the most exposure and I put the most money on him this last week as I have on any one player the entire season. And so that's a really good feeling as a golf bettor to bet somebody with so much confidence and then to watch them go and pull it off just how we hoped. So
yeah, you were extremely confident last week.
I was.
It helps that Rory hits such a high ball.
Yeah, the apex that he has combined with the carry distance. He was playing a different golf course entirely. I mean, on hole number one, very, very long par four, over 500 yards, he was hitting a gap wedge into that hole on Sunday. And that's because he was taking in a line that wasn't just aggressive. It was a line that nobody else in the field could even attempt.
Yeah. And I mean, like, that course was set up at basically majors distance, mm-hmm. US Open, PGA type distance. Yeah.
Imagine if they had grown the rough out longer.
Oh, well, we're not going to have to imagine. We're going to get some longer rough.
Very, very similar course this week.
Very. And as for the other event on the PGA Tour calendar last week, Chris Goddard won the Myrtle Beach Classic, and rather easily. Goddard finished minus 22, six shots better than Davis Thompson and Alistair Docherty.
That was a good
story. So not much drama. Yeah, not much drama down the stretch in really either of the tournaments last week. We'll get to the PGA Championship preview in just a minute, but first, our friends at Underdog Fantasy are letting you make picks on your favorite golfers all season long. Just pick higher or lower on selected stats for 2 to 5 golfers, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single day. You can also make rivals picks, choosing, for instance, which of 2 golfers will shoot a better score in a round. Golf picks can be combined with player stats from other sports, too. Go sign up at Underdog Fantasy with the promo code BPGOLF to claim your special pick and to get a first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Now, the PGA Championship will be held at Valhalla Country Club, a Jack Nicklaus design in, well, look, Bo, I'm a northerner, so I pronounce it Louisville. But I know it's supposed to be pronounced Louisville or something like that.
Louisville.
Anyway.
You just round it off Louisville.
Okay.
I'll work on that. Like V-U-H-L.
Louisville. Valhalla has hosted 3 previous PGA championships, the first in 1996 when Mark Brooks beat Kenny Perry in a playoff, finishing minus 11. In the year 2000, Tiger Woods won that memorable duel against Bob May, also went to a playoff. Tiger had finished minus 18 in that. And in 2014, Rory McIlroy finished minus 16 to win by 1 stroke over Phil Mickelson. Valhalla is a par 71 that will play to 7,609 yards, and like Quail Hollow, Valhalla is a lengthy course. The shortest of the par threes is 190 yards. The longest is the 254-yard 14th. 5 of the par fours measure at least 484 yards. All of the par fives are between 570 yards and 594 yards, so they're reachable but not easily reachable. Valhalla replaced its bent grass fairways with Xeon Zoysia grass fairways a few years ago. The Zoysia plays firm and fast, so we are going to see some big drives this week.
Zoltan Zoysia.
But we are also going to see a lot of drives that roll through the fairway and into the rough, which is reportedly nice and thick thanks to an early spring in Kentucky. The little patches of rough between the fairways and the fairway bunkers at Valhalla have been removed, so you're going to see a lot of players hitting from the sand this week. And beware of Floyd's Fork, the stream that comes into play on a handful of holes. The greens are bent grass, and they are on the small side. There is some rain in the forecast for Friday and possibly Saturday, but the wind should be moderate throughout the tournaments. Bo, please give me your thoughts on Valhalla and what it's going to take to win on this course.
It's another full bag test. It's a lot like Quail Hollow in the way that it challenges from tee to green on the green. It tests your mettle mentally, physically. It's a long course. It takes a lot off the tee, and there's more penalty than there was last week for an errant tee shot. So you're going to see guys out there bombing it, to get a shorter club in their hand, but don't expect to see many guys holding these really tiny, tiny greens. We're talking, this is the third longest golf course they're going to have all season, and it's also got the top five smallest greens. And so with the rough growing out like it is, you're going to see a lot of missed greens. So I think scrambling is huge. Bogey avoidance is huge. And I think the real test is going to be how well you can avoid the big number. So I'm looking at bogey avoidance and double bogey avoidance, because par on a lot of these holes is going to be really good. You're going to gain strokes on the field with pars, and the three or four, maybe five birdie opportunities that are on this course, you better convert those. If you don't, you're going to be shooting over par and probably won't see the weekend. So I do expect to see some great golf with reasonably good scoring. That this course will reward good shot making. It will reward good shots all around. So don't expect it to be brutally difficult, but expect the guys who are struggling with any one piece of their game to fizzle out quickly and miss the weekend.
Yeah, just to reiterate, winning scores at the three PGA championships that have been played here, minus 11, minus 18, minus 16. So you can score
it's
here.
Gettable. It's but, gettable.
It is gettable, but it will also beat you up if you are not on top of your game. We will get to the odds in just a moment, but if you want a chance to win a free one-year premium Betting Pros subscription, you need to subscribe to the Betting Pros YouTube channel right now. Comment below on this video, and that's it. We'll be announcing a winner right here on the channel, so make sure to turn on those notifications so you can be alerted when new episodes are up and to claim your prize. All right, let's get to the odds. These are courtesy of DraftKings. As of Monday afternoon, new dad Scottie Scheffler returns to action this week, and after winning four of the last five events he entered, stumbling horribly with a tie for second place in his other event in those last five, it should come as no surprise that Scottie is a heavy favorite at plus 400. Rory, who won here in 2014, is plus 700. Xander Schauffele plus 1,200. Brooks Koepka plus 1,400. John Rahm plus 1,600. Ludvig Åberg plus 1,800. Bryson DeChambeau plus 2,200. Max Homa plus 2,500. Colin Morikawa plus 2,800. Joaquin Niemann plus 3,000. Tommy Fleetwood and Patrick Cantlay plus 3,500. And at plus 4,000, we have the trio of Wyndham Clark, Victor Hovland, and Cameron Smith. Who do you like from this group, Bo?
I mean, right off the bat, you got to look at Rory McIlroy again. This is a very comparable course. A little tougher, but what we saw from Rory McIlroy this last week was so impressive. And I've run a couple of preliminary models, and he's number one in all of those too, even over Scottie Scheffler. And that comes as a surprise to some because of how dominant Scheffler has been in the stats, the strokes gained stats. I mean, Scottie Scheffler sweeps the board. But when I go to longer golf courses, over 7,400 yards, and I change the filter to bent grass greens, he drops down out of the top 10, which should be it raised my eyebrows. It should surprise everyone. But the one who popped up right to the top is Rory McIlroy, along with some really good long shots we can take a shot at, but Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka in the PGA Championship. He's won this thing three times. Not necessarily a Valhalla yet, but we're talking about a guy who's just as hot as anybody. Rory's won his last two events. Scottie's won his last two events in four of the last five. Brooks Koepka just won in Singapore. This is a battle of the Titans, and we are... This place, Valhalla already sold out all their PGA Championship tickets. They sold out all their hospitality. This is a main event, must-see TV, and we get to watch it for free, Pat. But Scottie, Rory, Brooks Koepka, there's probably a host of other guys that are worthy of claim, but they're not getting bet on like those three guys. Even John Rahm at 16-1 is insane to me. That's a really, really soft number for a guy that good. His recent form kind of scares you off of that. And even Xander Schauffele, he matches up extremely well with this golf course too, just the same as last week. So I would start with Rory, and I think I'll lean towards Koepka as my next one in.
Let me just press you on Rory for a second. You're okay with that price, 7-1.
7.5-1 is what I see right now on Monday afternoon.
Okay.
The only thing that scares me with him is with the way I'm filtering it, his putting is nearly dead last in this field on bent grass, and he's 133rd in scrambling. So if he's a little bit off with his approaches, which he was spot on last week, but those approaches, he has to stay sharp there or he's going to fizzle out quickly. Because if you're hoping Rory's going to be able to miss greens like he did last week and get away with it, it won't happen at Valhalla. That course will eat him alive. But I mean, he did win the last Valhalla PGA Championship. It was a long time ago, back in a different Rory era. But I think if he can stay in play, he's gonna have a run at it.
Yeah, I do worry a little bit about the weight of great expectations on Rory. But then again, he hasn't fared well in recent majors when expectations weren't so high. And so I don't know.
He's number one on approach in this field, and that's better than Scotty in these conditions.
Yeah. You mentioned Brooks, the three-time PGA Championship winner, five-time major winner, defending PGA champion. Mm-hmm. And as you said, he won in Singapore a couple weeks ago. And oh, by the way, Bo, the last time the PGA was held on a course with Zoysia fairways, it was Bellerive in 2018, and Brooks won at Bellerive.
That was a deep dive by you, Pat.
I'm glad you appreciate that. So Xander Schauffele has posted top 20s in four of his last five PGA championships, but hasn't really been in serious competition or serious contention late on a Sunday. Best finish, a 10th in 2020. Plus, he just getting smoked by Rory like that. I do wonder what sort of mental state he's in coming into this. It seems like this is a course that should suit Jon Rahm's game.
Oh, yeah.
You would think. Big hitter, great toucher on the greens. And I would imagine Rahm is going to have a big chip on his shoulder after the colossal disappointment at the Masters. So, you said it, Clash of the Titans. What about Åberg, Bo? Pulled out of the Wells Fargo Championship with a knee issue, but not believed to be major. He's finished top 25 in 8 straight events, top 15 in 4 straight.
I'm probably going to skip Åberg this week. For one reason, it's his number's plus 1,800, which for a guy who's never won anything at this level, I'm going to take my time on him. And from what I'm hearing from people who are watching practice rounds is he's still favoring that knee. Can he play through it? Yes. Is he thinking about it? Also, yes. So Åberg's knee worries me because this golf course is not easy to walk. It's not easy to maintain composure mentally, let alone physically. And I just don't, I know that he's going to win a few of these before he hangs them up because he's that good. He's a prodigy. But I think an injured golfer is always a dangerous thing, but it can work against you. And I think that I would bet on an injured Ludvig Åberg if he was 25 or 30 to one, but he's not nearly as good of a fit for this golf course as it looks on the surface. As I dive deeper and then I account for whatever level that injury is, it just pushes me further and further away from him at 18 to one. It's just too short for him.
That's fair. I have to admit, even though Wyndham Clark has a scant track record in majors, I'm pretty intrigued by his blend of power off the tee and touch around the green. I mean, if this dude gets hot with the flat stick, I expect him to contend into the weekend.
He's another fade for me because he gets squirrely off the tee. He does have length, but when he's off, he's a lot like Jordan Spieth, except Jordan Spieth is the better chipper. Wyndham Clark's the better putter. They both have their bugaboos off the tee where accuracy is king here. Yes, it helps to have distance. He has that. But if you miss the fairways here, you are absolutely dead. And it's gonna require more accuracy than distance. Even though the course is 7,600 yards plus, accuracy wins at Valhalla. That's why Rory won here back in 2016. He hit most of the fairways. And when he missed the fairways, he was in the first cut. He wasn't killing himself off the tee. He was able to attack pins that nobody else could attack. Wyndham Clark needs to have one of his best, most accurate tee games that he's ever had to win here. And I just don't know if he has that right now.
He Even going back to Mark Brooks, if I recall, Mark Brooks was not a big hitter at all, kind of a bunter, but he kept it in the fairway. And like you said, that's
payoff for finding the fairway is less important than the penalty for missing it. That's what I'll say.
Let's look at the mid-range options. We've got Tyrrell Hatton, Justin Thomas, Hideki Matsuyama, and Cameron Young at 50-1. Sam Burns and Jason Day are 55-1. Sahith Theegala, Minwoo Lee, and Ben Ahn are 60-1. Sung J.M., Matt Fitzpatrick, and Sepp Straka are 65-1. Siwoo Kim, Jordan Spieth, and Will Zalatoris are 70-1. Dustin Johnson, 75-1. And Tony Finau, Russell Henley, and Corey Connors are 80-1. Do you like any of the mid-range plays?
So right off the bat, Justin Thomas. This is a bounce-back season for him. Looked pretty good last week. This is a type of course that requires accuracy. He's a very accurate player. It requires good approach game. He has great approach game. It requires good touch around the greens when you miss the green. He has one of the best short games in the world. So Justin Thomas, don't sleep on him. 50-1 is an insulting number for him. He's a top flight caliber player. I'm going to be betting the heck out of Justin Thomas at 50-1.
And he's a native of?
Louisville.
Thank you. and so as it turns out, JT's last win on the PGA Tour, the 2022 PGA Championship at Southern Hills.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be a nice way to close up a yawning two-year gap between victories for JT.
And just think of the vibes each time he tees off at the first hole all 4 days, because I assume he's going to make the cut. Now on the tee from Louisville, Kentucky, Justin Thomas. That's going to give him goosebumps. It's going to give him motivation. The crowd will be 1,000,000% behind him all 4 days. I think the vibes are good enough. His form has been good enough. He's fourth in my model. All the things check the box where he should be at 35-40-1, and getting him at 50-1 means I'm getting it really aggressive on him.
Yeah, he's a fiery cat, so I could imagine getting a big lift from that crowd. I believe Cameron Young has finished top 10 in 5 of his last 9 majors. This dude is just always around. It seems like a pretty good price on him at 50-1. So,
How many PGA Tour wins does he have?
Good point. Good point.
Yeah, I think
you get
on the stat sheet with tee to green game. He's got that in spades. He's the American version of Corey Connors. Great, great ball striker. One of the best golf swings, pure contact guys. Watching a shot tracer is a sight to behold. But you have to get the ball in the hole. You have to get the ball in the hole at par or better. And he's streaky that way. He gets really hot on approach, and he can score with anybody. But when the chips are down Saturday, Sunday, roll around, and everybody's making pars where it's required, Cam Young has folded like a lawn chair every single time. So betting him outright, I can't do it.
Good point. Might be worth saving for a top 10 or a top 20 bet.
Mm-hmm.
I would not hate the 50-1 odds on Hideki Matsuyama with his tee to green game, but he withdrew from the Wells Fargo Championship with a back injury very shortly before the tournament began.
After lock.
Which I know after lock, yes, that irritated a lot of people who complained about it on Twitter. I know that much. So with the back thing, I can't.
Hideki doesn't withdraw very often, but every time he does, it's after lock. He's a give it a go type of guy. I appreciate the perseverance, but come on, man. At least let's give it a go on Wednesday and figure out how we're feeling before Thursday starts.
Exactly.
We skipped over one of my guys that I'm intrigued by, Cameron Smith. Obviously, his short game, his approach game puts him up there with me. 40-1 is a little short for me. That's why I'm kind of hesitant. But if we start to see that number tumble towards 50 where JT is, I'm going to be on Cameron Smith because putting wins championships, and Cameron Smith is the best putter in the world.
Yeah, I'm with you. Really like Cameron Smith. That does seem like short. It's a little bit too short in a field this good. Let's talk long shots, Bo. Is there anyone you like with odds of 90-1 or longer?
Why, I'm glad you asked. There's actually quite a few. I actually do like Justin Rose at 300-1. That seems crazy to me. And a lot of people are talking about Keegan Bradley at 180. I think Keegan Bradley is just in terrible form right now.
he is, top 25 in two of his last three. So not like, but most of the season has been kind of calamitous. I agree with you. But big hitter who's good with the irons.
Good
so
long iron
I can
player.
See it.
Good long iron
yeah.
player.
Yeah. So, and at 180-1, I get it. I get it. I'm a little bit, I might throw a little something down on Keegan.
I think Tiger Woods at 300-1 is always worth a YOLO bet. I mean, who doesn't love Tiger? And Tiger Woods 300-1, that's a fun one for me because he likes Valhalla too.
That's right.
And then you can keep going down. Shoot. I got some wild ones down here. Just a couple bucks, maybe even $1 would do it for me. But JT Poston rates out well here, 250-1. Doug Gim, 500-1. And Bobby Mack, Robert McIntyre, 400-1.
Interesting. So
just a good fit for the course, good long iron players that don't beat themselves.
Yeah, there's no one I'm in love with at over 200-1 like you, Bo, although I might throw a buck on our guy Ryo Hisatsune at 400-1. Akshay Bhatia is interesting at 110-1. A good short game. No?
Mm-hmm.
What? Why not?
How did he do last week?
Were you?
He did fine. He was fine, but he wasn't. He was thankful there was no cut. Let's just say that. Another guy who with short iron in hand is the best in the world. He's the best wedge player on approach that there is. However, long iron approach kills him. He's not a very accurate driver of the golf ball. And I think that pays way too much. His short game's good. His wedge game's great. His putting, not good. His accuracy off the tee, not good. And that was exposed last week. And with even more penalty for those errant tee shots this week, I can't do it.
What about Taylor Penrith?
No.
130-1.
No chance.
I know, just because he's so errant with the driver.
Yeah, and 130-1 is completely because he just won 2 weeks ago. He'd be a 400-1 if he didn't do that. I'd rather at 180-1 Patrick Reed. Just Matt is so much better of a play.
Yeah, for a good player, that is a long price on Patrick Reed. Not just the win. I mean, Penrith has finished top 11 in four straight. Granted, one of them was the Zurich Classic, the team event, but
he's great on easy golf courses.
Yeah. And this is not that. Mm-hmm. I get it. All right, Bo. So as of now, what do you have on your betting card?
We're going Rory again, plus 750. I'm going to do a top five kicker just like I did last week where we won really big. Brooks Koepka, plus 1,400 with a top five and a top 10 kicker. I'm playing him aggressively too. Who did I talk about with the aggression? I already forgot. Darn it.
JT.
Cameron Smith. Yeah, JT, that's the one. Cameron Smith, I'm going to monitor at 40, but I'll probably hit him at 50. JT at 50-1 with a big, big, aggressive top 10 bet. And then I'll take sprinkles on all of those long shots I mentioned, including Patrick Reed, Tiger Woods, my screen went by. Justin Rose.
All right. So I'm not going for Scotty. I think we didn't really talk about whether we're live betting Scotty, right? That's the way to play it now.
Yeah, it's
short odds in a field so good.
He's that good where if he does start slowly, like a couple weeks ago where we bet him live after he made a double bogey on the fourth hole of Thursday's round and he slipped to plus 1,100. That was as quickly as I've run to hit a button in my life. But if that happens here, it's less likely that he can pull that off, but you still want to do it. If it slips past 10-1, you live bet Scotty because he can come back from 8-10 strokes in 18 holes. He's that good. He's that streaky and he gives himself so many scoring opportunities. That's the same thing with Rory last week it's not that he converts all of his opportunities, but he's always there, always putting for birdie, and some of them go in. And that's the name of the game, is easy par tap-ins and just move on. And if a birdie goes in, then we're drinking good.
Yeah, we had not really talked about whether we were going to bet on Scotty, but I think at this point that's sort of our approach where we are live betting Scotty. It's so tough when you're only getting him at, somewhere from plus 350 to plus 500. in these events, you know? So,
and chances are if he's going to win, then I want to get him at better odds anyway, because it's not really worth the investment. You're putting a lot of money down for one guy out of 155 to win. And I know it's that one guy is the best player in the world, but it is major and we have all these guys at our disposal.
So, Bo, I'm just not feeling it with Rory. And like, I know this, everything sets up so well for him. I'm just not digging him at the short price. I am digging Brooks. I'm all over him. I've got him at plus 1400. I've got John Rahm at plus 1600. I think Rahm is going to be very focused this week. I've got a top five on Colin Morikawa at plus 600. You know, tee to green. I think his game's going to play at Valhalla. Mm-hmm. Wyndham Clark, I've got it 40-1. Will Zalatoris, we haven't really talked about him, Bo. The guy's played in two PGA Tour event or PGA Championships and has finished top 10 in both, including his playoff loss to Justin Thomas in 2022 at Southern Hills. So yeah, and 70-1 on Zalatoris just seems like a great price. You've talked me out of Batia. I'm not going to bet him, but I am going to throw a little something down on Keegan Bradley. And I'm going to throw a buck on Rio Hisatsuni.
Let's go. As far as Zalatoris is concerned, the back injury is still there for me, too. He's a lot like Hideki, except I think that if he wasn't ready to go, he would withdraw on Tuesday or Wednesday for us. But yeah, the Zalatoris thing, from what I'm hearing, is that he's going to start slipping farther down the board. So if you feel good that he's going to finish four rounds, then it's a great bet because the number's going to get better and better. But a lot of people are concerned about the back.
Before we get to our one and done picks, if you are playing in a one and done golf pool, or if you're playing in any sort of tiers based majors pool this year, our friends at Pool Genius have a new product that gives you an edge. And hey, we have a major this week. Using objective data like betting odds, course performance, and national pick trends, the tool highlights the top value picks that give you an edge. And it can be all customized specifically to your pool. If you're doing a one-and-done pool or majors pool, let Pool Genius be your secret weapon. And by the way, Pool Genius isn't just for golf pools. You can use it for March Madness pools, NFL Survivor pools, and more. For 10% off on the majors tool and for up to 55% off on yearly packages that include all golf, football, and March Madness tools, visit poolgenius.com/fantasypros. Again, that's poolgenius.com/fantasypros. Now for our one and done picks. Last week at the Wells Fargo Bowl, I struck a big blow by taking Mr. Rory McIlroy. His win in that elevated event was good.
You're
for
welcome.
$3.6 million.
That's a twofold.
Thank
you're
you
welcome.
Very much.
Twofold. You're welcome.
Oh, yes. So the $3.6 million lifted me into the lead and for the first time all year. And Bo, like, I was kicking myself so hard for not taking Scottie Scheffler at the Players' Championship. These elevated events, like if you are
big
in a
swings.
Big one-and-done pool, you've got to hit the elevated events. You just have to if you're going to win your one-and-done pool, if you're going against more than a handful of other players. So let's see. Bo, you had Justin Thomas, who finished tied for 21st. That was good for $221,667. So the new tally has me at about $6.6 million and you at about $5.1 million. But, Bo, we've got ourselves a major this week. So that means a big old purse. Yeah.
Don't get used to it. Don't get used to the top here.
Well, this is your chance to strike back. But I am up first this week, and I'm going to try to land another haymaker. I'm going to take Brooks Koepka.
Good pick.
Who's it going to be for you, Bo?
So last week, I should have taken Rory McIlroy. I talked you into taking Rory McIlroy, and you probably thought I was going to take Rory McIlroy, and you had Xander Schauffele in your holster, I believe, if I was to take Rory. And for some unknown reason, I can't remember why I didn't take Rory last week, but I didn't. And Galaxy brained myself into giving up this lead. This week, I'm going to take the ultimate ace out of the hole and play Scottie Scheffler.
Nice. There it is. The big, wow, this is Clash of the Titans here.
That's
versus Scotty.
That should be the name on this thumbnail when we publish it, is Clash of the Titans.
Right.
The big boys are going to eat.
Only fitting at Valhalla. I mean, that's a place where the the gods go to relax.
That's the Viking heaven.
And that's going to do it for this week's show. I want to thank our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Sign up for Underdog with the promo code BPGolf to claim your special pick and to get a first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. And please come join Bo and I again next week when we will be previewing the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth, Texas. Until then, so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Betting Pros Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow us on X and TikTok at Betting Pros and Instagram at Betting Pros NFL. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/bettingpros.